from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They wish to see you." He said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have in this Gospel this dramatic scene, which Mary and Jesus' cousins came in order to be able to see him. What they wanted to see him for, none of the evangelists tell us. But Jesus, because of the crowd, used it as an opportunity to explain that he had come from heaven to earth to found a family. And the family would be founded by those who would have a relationship to what he was saying and how they were living it. His mother and his brothers and sisters are those who first hear the word and then put it into practice. Later on in St. Luke's Gospel, we'll have that scene of the anonymous woman crying out, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee." Jesus replied then, similarly, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Mary's fundamental ground of praise by her son was not because of her physical relationship to him, but because she is paradigmatically that one who hears the word of God and observes it in such a way that the Word is able to take her flesh and dwell among us. Jesus wants us to have that similar relationship. I've mentioned before the famous words of St. Ambrose, that we're all supposed to be mothers of God according to the way that we relate to the Word. In the iconography of the Middle Ages, when they would depict the Annunciation, they would depict the conception of Jesus happening through the ear. The Holy Spirit would enter the Blessed Virgin's ear because she had conceived the Word of God in her heart, as St. Athanasius would say in the 4th century, before she had ever conceived that Word in her womb. That we similarly are to conceive the Word of God, become impregnated with the Word of God, let that Word of God grow within us, taking on our own nature, umbilically connected to everything we do, and then eventually that Word becomes so big that we cannot keep it to ourselves. We have to literally give it to the light. And we do that in deeds. We're all supposed to become mothers of the Word in this very way, which is why Pope Benedict used St. Ambrose in his beautiful apostolic exhortation, "The Word of God and the Life and the Mission of the Church," a decade ago, to hear the Word of God and act on it. Today's first reading, in these string of pearls of wisdom from the book of Proverbs, we have two that we can ponder within the context of today's gospel. To do what is right and just, not just to know what to do, but actually to do what is right and just, is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. The real gift, the real homage that God wants is for us to do what he tells us, which is the path of diakosune, the path of righteousness before the Lord. It's what actually makes us in right relationship with him. A little later, it talks about the just man's appraising the house of the wicked. There is one, meaning that just man, who brings down the wicked to ruin. How does he do that? He does it by what Jesus describes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. That there are two ways that one can construct a life. The ones who hear the word of God and act on it, he says, are those who build the house on a rock. When the storms come, the house stands. But those who hear the word of God and don't observe it, because at the time of the Lord Jesus, everybody heard the word of God. It wasn't a question of somebody being deaf. wasn't a question of somebody not having access. But those who heard the word of God and don't observe it are like somebody who builds a mansion on sand. Eventually the floods are going to come and destroy the whole house. So the just man is able to praise the house of the wicked, even though it may be gargantuan. It's made out of cards and will collapse because it doesn't have that firm foundation. The just man observes his own house, even if it seems small. That's the place where it is going to remain. It's going to remain stable. Responsorial Psalm builds on this. If we're really hearing the Word of God, if we appreciate the Word of God for what it is, we're going to be regularly turning to the Lord and begging for the grace to understand the way of His precepts. We're going to be meditating on His wondrous deeds night and day, choosing the way of truth with His ordinances before us. We beg Him always to lead us in this path. And we say we delight in this path. It's not an easy path, it's a way of the cross. Our feet too will become bloody. We'll have some heartbreak along the way as others just don't want to join us on that journey. But nevertheless, it has great delight in it as we do it. Might at first seem bitter, but deep down inside when we do the will of the Lord, there's no contentment that earth can give that is anywhere near as equivalent as the joy that has its roots in the form of a cross. So that's the first way we can look at today's readings, about how Jesus earnestly and passionately desires for us, like his mother, to hang on every word that comes from his mouth and to listen to his words as words to be done. Because the word to hear, Shema in Hebrew, is the same word to obey. To listen to God's word means to listen, not then to evaluate whether we want to live it or not. But in the very action of hearing God's word, we listen to the Lord with a sense of holy obedience that we're eager to put it into practice. But there's a second way, very relevant today, with which we can look at today's readings. There can be no real family, no real union, no real communion without the word of God. We all long for that type of loving relationship. We can't build it on any other foundation than mutually hearing God's word and acting on it. Probably the toughest pastoral assignment I ever had was to be chaplain at Bishop Connolly High School. The Jesuits had it for many years, and frankly, they didn't get the top Jesuits to Fall River. There were a lot of issues, including with the hearing the word of God and acting on it, even the Ten Commandments, types of things that we read today, because frankly, the Jesuit province in New England was overrun by homosexuality. The faculty that remained after the Jesuits pulled out and it came over to the diocese had been very poorly formed. And in the first few years of diocesan control before I got there, there was huge division on the faculty. And I came on in, and as I was meeting with the headmaster and all the other faculty members, it was clear that it was not a happy place to work because there were so many factions among the faculty. And so everybody was saying, Father, one of the most important things you can do is to try to bring about a common esprit de corps here so that we recognize why we're working and for whom we're working, etc. So in the first faculty meeting, the headmaster turned it over to me, and I said, listen, in the conversations with everybody, everybody wants the same thing. They want real union here, and everybody is nodding the head. Everybody wanted it. I said, there's really only one way. If we really want this, we've got to will the means. And I reached into my briefcase, and I took out two books. Took out the Bible, put it on the table, and I took out the Catechism of the Catholic Church and put it on the table. And I said, it's going to be by our sharing this faith. If we're trying to get it just by human virtues, niceness, kindness, human virtues are key, but they're not enough for for us to have the type of communion that we really want, it's going to be based on all of our saying that we're going to do what's in here. Because we don't have one faith, we're not going to have any subsequent communion. You would have thought that I had just yelled fire. So many of the people just didn't want to base Bishop Connolly High School on these two fonts of the faith. Some did, but many did not, because they defined their practice of the faith, led by some of the priests who had malformed them, in opposition to church teaching, as if they could stand athwart and judge the house of the just man and find it wanting in their injustice, in their lack of right relationship with the Lord. Similarly today, what's the cause of so much dissension in the church? Dissent, literally, when people aren't hearing the Word of God and acting on it. And we all suffer. I may have told you the story before. Most priests love to go to the pro-life mass at the National Shrine of Immaculate Conception. It's not just because it's a beautiful liturgy. It's not just because we care for life. It's not just because the kids that we bring, we want them to see liturgy celebrated well with thousands of other kids rejoicing in the faith. One of the real things that get us coming back is when we're waiting downstairs in the crypt about to process on up. There is a union among those priests that we don't experience in our own dioceses, because we know every single priest in that crypt is pro-life. And because the priest is pro-life, he's probably everything else that a priest is supposed to be. We don't even have to wonder. And so friendship and laughter and joy and prayer and the whole rest of it comes straight on out. Likewise, when I go over to Rome as a missionary of mercy, 560 in multiple languages from all over the world. But when we're there, there's immediate communion, because we know that every priest there loves the sacrament of confession, receives God's mercy, sacrifices in the confessional for God's mercy, and the Holy Spirit is able to flow straight from there. If we're really living what we profess we believe, then communion flows, then real familial spirit flows. So if we want houses that have real love, it's going to be based on hearing the Word of God and doing it. Everybody else coming otherwise, we're going to experience what Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel. House divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. Not because he comes to divide, but because when he comes with his word, those who don't want to follow his word, those who want to persist in a life apart from the Lord, actually bring division into the home. Similar in a religious community, that the obedience to the Word of God, to the faith of the Church, to the constitutions of the Institute, are a means by which there's to be great communion. And without that mutual will, you might have some type of superficial harmony, but you'll never have the joy flowing from mutual love that God wants us to have. Today, as we celebrate this votive mass for justice and peace, we recognize that peace is the opening prayer told us, comes from justice, this right relationship with God and right relationship with others, based on the twofold commandment of love. Let us ask the Lord, as we receive love and fleshed, to help us to hang on his every word as his mother shows us, so that we might be able to experience God's will, which is for us to be in a communion of saints, within the perfect communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.